Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 233, Podcast Maven with Audrey Kern.
Where I start the show off by myself because Mordant has technical issues and we just go with the flow. Then segment two, hello Mordant, are you there? Nope. We find out more about social anxiety and overcoming challenges. Then section three, Mordant, are you ready? Nope, he's still not ready. So we discuss how getting away from rules leads to success.
Wait, I'm here. Finally, in this segment, I beam into the show and ask Audrey to give advice for people moving forward through similar challenges. And in the On Beyond,
I ask the fanboy podcast question of how Audrey's able to talk with people she's such a huge fan of.
All this coming up right now.
He start this thing off. He always starts the show. Hey, welcome to Success Freaks number. I don't even know what the number is right now. It's not in front of me.
It's 230, I think.
Thank you, Audrey. 233, I think. 233. This is what happens when everything goes sideways. We're having to move on with the show. Our Mordant Mon is trying to get in feverishly. He's having issues with his computer and his cell phone. So apparently the universe wanted him to take a rest day today. But he is going to be trying to get in later. The voice you hear helping me out. Of course, I am Charles McFall, success freak extraordinaire. With me today is Audrey Kearns.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Charles.
Thanks for being on. Met Audrey back at Dragon Con of 2015. Yep. And saw that she was going to be on a panel that I was on. So I'm like, oh, you know, who is this? And I go and research her, and it links her to IMDb. It's like, what? IMDb?
What?
You were on a show I actually watched? That's awesome. So, yeah. But it actually sent me to Geek Girl Authority first. So Audrey is the founder of Geek Girl Authority, which is an amazing geek and nerd site. Really focusing around the female aspect of everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's what we started out doing. But, you know, I go over my Google Analytics every day, and we're pretty much, it's like 55% women, 45% men, as far as my demographic who's coming. Because, you know, what it comes down to is everybody's a nerd and everybody wants to read breaking news and listen to podcasts. But, you know, and then I looked at my contributors, and I got half guys contributing and half ladies contributing. So, it just turned into this wonderful, like, no one's excluded.
Right. And that was the thing. It's very inclusive. And that's what caught my attention immediately and was fun.
Yes. And that's my point on my website is joy. You know, I just want to bring the joy so everyone can be happy. It's about being joyful with your nerddom and not, you know, preachy or pontificating or anything like that.
Yes. Man, that's going to get me. When somebody gets religious about something and you have to do it their way and you're not good enough, it turns me off so quickly.
We're open to everything.
Yeah, it's quite horrible. Before we get more into this conversation, I want to tell everybody, because we're partners, we are partnered with Islamic Relief USA, irusa.com, I think it is, .org. You'll find IRUSA. We're going to play the ad here at the break. But we love working with them. And I was invited to come as the personality host that I am. I was invited to come to a charity benefit that they had in Atlanta this week. And I was able to make that happen. And it's great on twofold, because one, I have four small children, and the youngest being 2.5. And she is attached to her mom at the hip. And so it's been very difficult to have date nights or anything like that. And we spent a month prepping her to go two doors down to her grandmother's house. And sure enough, she did fine. So we were able to drop them off. And for the first time And I can't tell you how many years it's been. We had an adult date night where we were out eating a nice dinner and with other adults and doing boring things for children, and it was really fun.
That sounds great. How was she when you picked her up?
She was good. She was happy. Yeah. She was ecstatic to see her mom. Yeah. But the only time she cried apparently was when she fell and hurt her chin. So that was a plus.
Which is it's a normal time to cry.
Yeah. There was exactly. So everything went well. But then the benefit itself was very, very amazing. And the speaker there, we're going to try to have on the show at a future time. He was really good. They raised a lot of good money. It was as a benefit for orphans in Syria and Pakistan.
Well, that's great.
They were showing what they've been doing in the past years. And recently, somebody apparently had funded an orphanage in India as well, and had funded it for I don't know how long, but it was like $10,000 a month, but it took care of 200 children, which is insane how much that can cover. And unfortunately, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. So they're really like, you know, you can mark where you want this money. You can always mark where you want the money to go, but we really need some help over here.
Right.
So they're working. And Audrey, for your benefit, IRUSA, we vetted them hugely because we know in America you hear Muslims and Islam and you know, people go crazy. Yeah. So we made sure to vet them deeply. And they were one of the top six charities to donate to for when Tibet had the massive earthquake.
Yes.
And they had boots on the ground in South Carolina when the floods happened here recently. And just anytime any kind of disaster happens, they're there. You're giving out clothes. So
they take a look at international like catastrophes and stuff, and they help. That's great.
And you don't even have to be. They don't say, "Oh, is it affecting Muslims?" It's like, you know, what's happening with people, and how can we help the people?
Exactly.
So it's very cool. So I was able to do that, and it was a very awesome experience and very fun. Our contact, so on the show, he's known as Damn It Carl, because the first show we did, he's our contact over there. The first show we did, of course, the whole office was laughing, and more than being a little self-conscious about a new project, was like, you know what, man, you shouldn't have had us on in the office. The bosses are going to listen, and they're going to go, damn it, Carl, what'd you get us into? And it stuck immediately. But he and I were chatting about this dinner, and I told him, you know, after the presentation, after the speech, whatever you call it, I went up and spoke to the imam, and unfortunately, I'm really bad with names when they're very fast given to me.
Yes, yes.
So I caught imam, and that was it. But I spoke to him, and he was really interested in being on the show and talking about the podcast. And Tim McCurl's like, I hate you right now. Apparently he works for IRUSA, and Carl's been having a hard time getting a hold of him to get him on, because they're starting their own podcast, as they should, and talk about what they do in the world and what's going on each month. And he's been having a hard time to get this guy on. And instantly I walk up, he's like, yeah, here's my information. Talk to me. I was like, that's what I do, man.
You just got that energy. You know, people want to say, yes, all right, I'm there.
Apparently. So that was this week. Coming up, though, that was like the most success freaky thing we're going to do. We're going to be talking geek stuff. We're going to be talking fun. But you know what? We are going to be talking to Audrey about how she helps others be awesome, why she does what she does. Because I got to tell you, I don't know a ton about you, but meeting you in person, like this lady is amazing and does amazing things. And if nothing else, for me, just to talk about how I like what you do, is good enough to have you on, right?
I'll listen to compliments all day long. Go for it. I'm only human.
let's go backwards in our timeline then. So we'll start with Dragon Con, and I met you, or I saw you first on a panel about doing interviews, and you shared this amazing story about, I think it was the creator of, or at least the guy who's writing a book about Deadpool. And
I interviewed Rhett Reese, who wrote the screenplay. He's one of the guys who wrote the screenplay for Deadpool.
Oh, okay. And you're about to do the interview, and then you saw, I think, Tim Tebow, was it?
Yeah. And so, so I'm from Florida. I'm from the South as well. And you know, I don't know how, do you have a team? Do you have a college football team?
I typically root for Florida State. My family went there.
That's okay. I forgive you. And, But it's just like when you in the South, you have to attach yourself to a college football team. It's like more important than going to church on Sundays. And so mine was the Gators. I went to school there. And so, of course, Tim Tebow played for the Gators. And I'm in this like kind of fancy part of L.A. I'm trying to find this guy's place, you know, because I'm going to his. He's allowed me to come to his place. It's called Century City, the area, and I'm at a stoplight, and I just look over, and there's this guy kind of dancing to the music, and it was Tim Tebow, and I looked twice, and I stared at him hard because I was like, I don't want to mess up this sighting. I don't want to say he was here and when he wasn't, and it was him, and I got so flustered, like, by the time I got to this guy's house, just because, you know, he played for the Gators, and so we started the interview, and I started stumbling over my words, and I kind of regrouped, and I said, listen, Rhett, I'm a big college football fan, and I just saw Tim Tebow downstairs. And we talked 15 minutes about college football, all the way back to the game where the Gators defeated the Ohio State in the national championship, because he was actually at that game. And he, you know, and it was a great way to just start an interview talking about something real. I mean, we didn't get to Deadpool until I think 30 minutes. In, you know, we were just talking, and that's something I always try to do in all my podcasts, is just keep it real and talk about yourself. You know, I at DragonCon one year I interviewed this science fiction author, Hugh Howie, and when we got done, he was like, I've never had an interview like that where you just ask questions about me.
Right.
But I'm fascinated by people. Fascinated. You know, that's the thing. I'm fascinated. I want to ask people questions about their life if they'll answer it and what they like to do, you know. And I think that sets a great tone for an interview. It relaxes people.
Absolutely. And you know, we're gonna get more into that stuff. That's what I've been saying all along. That's the kind of interview I like to do. But you can find out more about what we do over at successfreaks.com. We have the podcast, we have videos, we have blogs. Now, admittedly, the blogs and the videos haven't been kept up too much. We've been very, very busy this year. But you have tons of podcasts. This is number 233, so I think pretty much every other one is on there. So go check it out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show, Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money, and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks. I think this is number 233. We're having too much fun to count. I am Charles. Morta is missing in action. He had his birthday yesterday and had a great day, and I guess he has to balance it out by being frustrated and missing out. I know he's very sad. He is working on his computer right now, trying to get it up and running. And it's one of those things where he's in great internet territory, right? He made sure we have internet that goes and opens up his computer and mandatory updates that are taking forever, apparently. So then he whips out a cell phone. No service. Oh. It's like, oh, he's so stuck. So I know he's hating this, and he'll join us. If he gets his computer up, he will join us as we go along today, for sure. But I have the lovely and talented Audrey Kearns here sitting in today.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
And we're
all the way from Los Angeles.
You consider yourself LA proper then?
Yeah. I'm LA proper for sure. I'm in it. I am in it.
I know that's a thing out there. It's like, well, I live outside of LA. I don't actually live in LA. LA is horrible. You know, it's kind of been one of those things. It seems like that's one of those cities where, or New York is another one. It's like if you say New York and you don't say Brooklyn or Manhattan, they're like, no, that's a problem. Yeah.
Well, LA, you know, where New York has the boroughs and everything like that, LA is so spread out and there's so many different sections that it's, you know, almost everything is LA proper, honestly, unless you live way outside. You know, we just bought our first place and it is in Los Angeles. You know, we it's in the Valley. We moved to the Valley and it's not the Valley of the 1980s. It's actually a really awesome place to live, you know, but we love it. We love it. It's where we work, you know, it's where our jobs are.
Nice. And that's something we'll get into in a later segment, because I'm curious about how you make a living versus what you do. Because we know what you do is Geek Girl Authority and amazing shows. And you set up Five Truths and a Lie. And I know it's going gangbusters out there. I've been watching your Twitter feed and Facebook stuff, and you're doing live shows of that in L.A.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
But the thing that intrigues me the most is you are capturing opportunities. You somehow meet people who we all know and are huge fans of. And we're going to talk about Polecast. We're going to talk about Story of Dragon Con. But you don't flinch. You sit down and have these great interviews. And it sounds like you've been friends for years. And you aren't gun shy or anything like that. And you found that opportunity. In the break, you told a story about meeting Scott Thompson and how you took the opportunity to actually hang out with him and talk about stuff and just be friendly. And Scott Thompson, for those of you who don't know, was a Kids in the Hall, a great comedic actor.
Yeah, amazing.
And, so
and,
you said
most recently on Hannibal. He was on the show.
Oh, see, I don't watch Hannibal. I didn't know he was on that.
Yeah, no, that's why he was at Dragon Con, is because he was there for the Hannibal panels.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That makes a little bit of sense then.
Yeah.
So, but you said, though, because if you want that story, you have to go to patreon.com/successfreaks and pledge at the level that gets you the in-between stuff. Because we do in-between for if you come out live, it's free. Other than that, we have to pay producer to package it up and get it to you. So you can go to patreon.com and become a member and get that plus so much more. So check that out. But to follow up that story of meeting him, you said that night almost didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate what you said about my interview style and how I don't flinch and everything. But the truth is, and we can get into this some other time, I have an extreme social anxiety disorder. I have a lot of fear in me, and I also have diagnosed obsessive compulsive disorder. So I'm full of anxiety at all times.
Wow.
But I know that when I'm on stage, if I'm doing a play or if I'm doing interviews, that never comes across. And I only say that so that people know that, you know, even people with a lot of fear and anxiety can get up there and do these things. So what happened with Scott is we did a live show, Five Truths and a Lie, and we had a great, it's a storytelling show where we get six storytellers to tell a story on a theme. One of them's lying, the audience guesses who's lying. So we had Scott Thompson and a bunch of other sci-fi celebs at Dragon Con telling stories. And so the show was done. It was a raging success. There was like 500 people there. They were screaming.
Oh, yeah, that room packs out. You can't get in if you're not standing in line ahead of time.
Exactly. And I can't believe, I was like, oh my God, people are standing in line 3 hours for 3 hours for something that I produced. It's crazy. And I host the show and everything. And I also tell a story to warm everybody up. And so it's after the show. And my husband wasn't going to come. He is a showrunner on a TV show out here in LA. And he wasn't going to come because he was working. And he usually comes every.
Oh, it looks like we lost the connection there for a minute. I'll tell my experience with Five Truths and a Lie while we get there you are. Hey, we got you back. So your husband wasn't going to go. We leave these things in. It's fun. But you said your husband wasn't going to go. And then we had a little glitch. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So pick up.
So he did. So he did. He flew out there, got there just a few hours before the show. And so the show goes on and there's like people on the panel that I kind of have actor crushes on and everything. And so they're all talking together. And I feel like I'm on the outside because they're actors on TV and I can't go up to them. And they're actually talking about what they're going to do that night. And my husband, who can knock on anybody's door, he really has the idea, well, the worst they can do is say no. And he's like, well, why don't we see what's going on with these guys tonight? I'm like, I don't know. I think they said that they're going to a private party or something. And he's like, well, you need to go ask. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to bother them. You know, and he just walked up to the group and said, hey, what's going on? And all they said was, you know, we're going to the top of the Hilton to get a drink. And so it was a big lesson for me because I had one of the best nights of my life because we went up there with the whole cast of the show and had a great time. And it was just another lesson of, you know, the worst that they could have done was say no. And they wanted to hang out with us. You know, they had such a great time. They didn't know what to expect from the show. They had heard about it. It had either been booked by them or their managers or whatever, and they had a great time. So we went up to the top of the hotel, and I had drinks with Scott Thompson, and he's a comedy idol of mine. I mean, I started out in comedy. I've got a big sketch comedy resume, and but we didn't talk about that. We talked about science fiction literature, like hardcore science fiction literature, for hours. And drinking, and it was a great night. It was a great night, all from just saying, hey, what are you guys doing?
Nice.
You know, and I I don't think I'll make that mistake again. I'm glad Brian was there with me so that he was able to say, hey, what are you guys doing? And it was just a big learning lesson for me. And I still, you know, I'm in my early 40s. I'm in my middle years. And I'm still, you know, learning about how to take chances and risks and everything. But once I get those opportunities, I'm always prepared. I think that's why I sound so good on my interviews and everything. It's all preparation.
And that does help. So I will let you say this one way or the other, but I'm going to suggest, I think when you do have the fear, when you do have that nervousness, it really helps to prepare. So you kind of numb your mind a little bit, right? You numb your nerves and like,
exactly.
Just read the questions.
Exactly. Well, one thing about obsessive compulsive disorder, and it's a very broad term, you know, you can be a counter, you can be, you know, mine's more, anxiety driven and, I'm a great comedian, but I'm not a good improviser because I need to have everything set up in my head beforehand. And for like a comedy improviser, you need to be just, you know, brain to mouth. And so having that preparation, like going to Rhett Reese, the Deadpool writer, you know, I had all my questions for him. I'm lucky I saw Tim Tebow and we got to talk about that. But then I had all my questions about his movie Zombieland and about Deadpool. And they were there. Maybe I'll get to them. Maybe I won't. But I know that I have this outline to follow. I have a beginning, middle, and end. I always have a beginning, middle, and end. And then I know I'm going to be okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, coming back, we're going to get into a little bit more of how you overcome these things and tell more stories. Before that, check us out. We are on the air in North Carolina, Gastonia, North Carolina, outside the Charlotte area or in the Charlotte area. If you go to 1450 AM, we are there every Thursday night at 5 PM, I believe it is. So check us out Check us out every week on your dial for your drive home. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Audrey Kearns.
Do you feel like your small change isn't making a difference to help your neighbors in need? You can make changes that count. Islamic Relief USA's Day of Dignity is giving you the chance to fight poverty in your community. Visit irusa.org to learn more about Day of Dignity events happening soon in your city. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
So welcome back to Success Freaks. Man, we just spent a lot of time in the intermediate part. Just talking. Audrey is so easy to talk to, and we see the world very similarly. So we just go on these stories. And remember, I think you're a natural born storyteller, aren't you?
You know what? That is something I'm good at. I will say I love to talk and I love to listen to people's stories and I love to share mine. Yeah.
So. being the anti-social butterfly that you are, but being that you love to talk and hear stories, have you ever had that natural podcaster moment of you hate to hear your own voice?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I do. I am much better now. But I'd say my first podcast was Five Truths and a Lie. And then so we do the show live, we record it. And then my husband and I, who we created and we produced the show together, would come back and then we record the interstitials and the lead in and all that kind of stuff. And both of us, you know, we'd listen to it and go, oh, you sound terrible. But then I would start getting these comments like from friends. Well, first they're like from family, you know, and as family, they're going to tell you it's good. Yeah. And then friends and even just people on social media saying, oh, you have a good voice for this. You sound great. You sound so professional. And I was like, you know, and so I chose to believe that rather than saying, oh, that's a bunch of BS, you know, because
good.
People,
yes.
Yeah. And that's a big thing for me, too, with you know, I sometimes tend to go to the negative place. Not anymore. I've done a lot of work on that and accepting the compliments and believing them.
That's such a thing. Now, when I got started off, and we'll get into, you got to hear certain words that Audrey is saying here. So if you're going, oh, I can start a podcast and do this, she used the word, we produce this thing. There's a lot more work into what she's doing, what I'm doing with our shows versus just flipping on a microphone. Now, it's all podcasting, and you can do it, but if you start a show and you don't know why people aren't listening or why you're not getting numbers or why you can't get Eddie McClintock or somebody on your show, there's definitely different areas of life where we come from. We're going to talk about that maybe coming up later. There's so many areas we can go to, but talking about that, believing what people say in a positive way to you is such a big thing. My wife has always told me, you've got such a huge ego. And that was a negative thing for her. But at some point, when I believed everything else, now she said I was a great producer, and she said she loved this, and she saw this, and you're taking the positive things and believing the positive things. Cause I was the same way. I was like, man, what I cannot be successful. I can be no good. That was what I believed about myself. I'm no good. I have to find, but what I can do is find other people who are great, and I can do all this technical stuff and produce this great thing for them, and then I'm successful.
Right.
And yes, I did develop great producer skills, and I can still do that. And that's what turned into Help Others Be Awesome. But I also had to believe people actually loved listening to my show. And I got chastised on Facebook one day. I was like, hey, this show's coming up tonight. What do you guys want to hear about? You know, and I had a long time listener. Well, at that time, long time was like 10 episodes. But a long time listener, I say, dude, it's your show. We tune in to hear what you have to say. If you start just taking polls and doing what everybody else wants to hear, it's going to go to crap. You need to do what you want to do. And I went, I felt really bad because he, in a good way, he's trying to say, no, 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 you're awesome. But I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. What else do you want to hear about? But at that moment, I remember transformed me. Went, okay, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about tonight, and we'll see what happens. And people liked it.
Right.
And it's that moment that you're talking about when it gets beyond family, it gets beyond friends to essentially strangers, fans, if you will, and they're saying you're doing well. How did that really change your life? Not just your podcasting, but your life.
It was, you know, it was, oh gosh, I so many thoughts on that. You know, I think, I still am surprised when I get the compliments. I mean, I do believe them and everything. And I see the numbers. I see the numbers for like my traffic on my site or the traffic on my podcasts and everything. And it did give me a little confidence. You know, it's something that I always knew I can do. I just didn't know how to convince other people because I can be really shy and not talkative, you know? And so you can't go around life expecting people to read your mind, and just because you say I'd be good at this, for them to believe you. You know, you have to show them, you have to take that chance. And honestly, with the internet, that made it easier for me to take that chance because I was behind a screen or I was behind a microphone.
Right.
You know, and the more successful my podcasts got, the more I was like, oh, I was right, and I do have a talent for this, and it felt great, and it makes me want to go forward and keep doing it, especially when people, like, you know, what you've said to me a few times is my interview style, which is very important to me, you know. And I because, you know, with so much noise out there, you do have to find something that makes you stand out, you know. And I'm hoping that my interview style does that, and from what I'm hearing from everybody, it does, you know. So
it's what you're saying, I want everybody to hear this. What you're saying is you found ways to cope, right? Because you had the negative image of yourself,
right?
You also have the diagnoses that you have of antisocial anxiety or social anxiety and OCD. But you've found those ways to cope, which, oddly enough, I don't have any of those diagnoses, and I wouldn't even say I act that way, but I had that damage inside that said I'm no good. I did the same compensation. I'm like, okay, I'm just staring at a wall, and I'm talking to the microphone. I just need to talk for myself. And that was my coping mechanism. And I didn't even look at numbers forever because I didn't want to know that one person was listening.
Right.
When I finally did, I was happily surprised that 20 people were listening, and then it grew and it grew and it grew. Which is funny, though. Okay, a little inside baseball, because I believe Audrey might feel the same way. It's funny. You get past a certain point, and if your numbers drop, you're like, why do I only have 500 million people listening? This is crap. And maybe I'll just cancel this show, because I used to have 10 billion people listening.
Exactly.
It's that funny mindset, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, those numbers are made up, but, you know, if I did a show, well, I did a show and with my wife, and I was having fun with it, and the numbers were double digits, and I'm used to way more than that. And I was like, for other shows that I do, it's like, why am I not getting good numbers? And I'm like, but I am. You know, yeah. If you had double-digit people showing up to your house to hear what you had to say every week, you'd be like, oh, man, I'm like the most coolest person in the world.
Exactly. Exactly. I totally get that. So excuse me.
With your anxiety disorder and your OCD, it's a very, very odd choice to be an actress. How did you get there?
I get that question a lot. And I also get, you know, when I'm out with my husband, who does very well in this industry, and I don't, you know, I never say I'm an actor, I do this. And so when they find out, they're like, oh, really? You? You know, I actually get that because I'm very quiet. And what it is, you know, I grew up in a military family, and I grew up in a Catholic family. I went to Catholic school. And those two things, both those things together, are full of ritual and rules, and which really helped somebody like me, you know? And so when I left school, or when I left my house, and I just, you know, in society, seeing that nobody else follows rules, and I'm trying to follow these rules, and I'm not being successful because I'm following, no, this is how you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to follow this, you know, direct path, you know? And it was very confusing, and everybody else around me was getting successful, but I wasn't, because I was just, I had heard that there, there's one path to success and you have to take it, you know? And it wasn't until my 30s where I got the diagnosis, and everything made sense to me. It was like, oh, I get it now. Now I have something to work with. So as far as acting, because I'd always been drawn to it ever since I was a young child, and I'm very good at it, you know? And I think what it is, Charles, I think what it is that when I'm on stage, and whether I'm doing a play or I'm telling you a story from my life, I'm in control of that moment. You're my audience. You know, I've got you there.
Right.
You know, you're not captives, but you're there. And for the most part, I don't do stand up. So for the most part, you guys aren't going to interrupt me. You're going to watch this play, and I am going to, in this moment, affect your life while I'm controlling what I'm doing. You know, so that's why I love acting so much, because it frees me. You know, it frees me to take chances. It frees me to, if I'm in a play, to be a character. And there are these, you hear this from theater actors a lot, you know, why do you do this stuff on stage? It's because every once in a while, you have these moments where you're totally in character. And anybody who says they're totally in character for 2 hours straight, in my opinion, as a professional actor, is a liar, because you always have to be grounded in reality. But you have these moments of total bliss and freedom that you feel. And I live for those moments, you know?
That's awesome. And, you know, we're going to get more into everything that Audrey does here coming up in a minute. You know where to find us. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Mike with MikeAtTheMic.com. And you know how it works. When you need voiceover, you need it now, and you need to get it as professional as possible. So if you're looking for a guy who's a podcast producer who comes equipped with voiceover skills and is affordable, professional, and quick, I'm your guy. Check me out. MikeAtTheMic.com. That's M-I-K-E at the M-I-C.com.
So welcome back to Success Freaks. I think we're at 233. I'm not good with the numbers. Mornet does the numbers, and Mornet decided to not be here today. He said, screw that guy, I'm done. I'm gonna go be successful somewhere else. Isn't that right, Mornet?
That's absolutely incorrect. I have been patiently sitting by my computer dealing with the hugest Windows 10 upload that I've seen. Usually it's like, oh, this takes a couple minutes. I started it an hour before, and now almost 2 hours into it, I'm like, oh, here I am on the show. Fantastic. And just smiling and go, well, this is something we can laugh about and talk about.
What's really funny about smiling. That is we ran into that issue like two, three, four weeks ago when I did that with the Mac. I did an update going, oh, it's an hour before the show. I hit update, and then we started about 20 minutes, 30 minutes late because I did that. So, you know, if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it, sir.
Yeah, well, this is definitely history I'm going to learn from. Absolutely.
Awesome. So of course, we are on with Audrey and Audrey Kearns, who's been a great guest, and we've talked so much today. But you've gotten to listen to some of the segments as things have been coming together for you. And, you know, here's your chance to talk to her and get to know her a little better and ask her some questions.
Excellent. Excellent. I think I was a little bit behind on the segments. I was at the segment where she was talking about dealing with her OCD and getting into acting. And that was, and then all of a sudden I connected with you guys. So I didn't even get to hear the whole segment. So that's what I loved about it is that you are actually able to do this and talk to people who are sharing similar experiences or having similar issues to deal with and letting them know, yes, in fact, you can have a great life. You can move forward and do all these things that you want to do that you thought, oh, I can't because,
yeah.
But you're proving and showing them by example. Do you have anything else you want to share with people just like that or even our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, I appreciate that comment. And, what I would say is that you can get to a place, you know, where you are conquering your fears and you are like, I'm doing these podcasts and everything and they're successful, but that doesn't mean the anxiety has gone away. It doesn't mean my OCD has gotten better. You know, it's a mental disorder. It's going to be with me for the rest of my life. It just means I can handle it better because I own it now. I get it. I know what it is. So I think a big mistake that some people may make is like once you achieve this kind of success or once you get this podcast up in the air or whatever endeavor you're trying to do, then all your problems are going to go away and everything will be fine. And that's not true. They're still here with me. I still deal with them every single day. I just have a better handle on them and I work through it, you know. So that's always something right. I try to share is that you know, just be prepared to keep working through it and just own it and go forward.
Right. That's I've just had my 12th anniversary of sobriety. Mm-hmm. And when you first stop drinking and doing everything else that I did, you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to be this great guy. And then all of a sudden you know, you mess up. I'm like, oh, I'm still an a-hole. Okay.
Oh. So
there's other issues I have to deal with that I can't really blame on the drinking and
right.
drugs. All right. Right. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's the whole game of life is that, you know, even as we get older, you know, we do get wiser. That's true. And that's awesome. You know, but we still discover new things about yourself every day, every year. And, you know, you make the choice to make it a good thing, even if it's a disappointing thing, make it a good thing. Say, now I know that I'm going forward. And it's a lot
that...
easier said than done, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. It's work. It's work for sure. But it's good work.
And it's not boring. People think that when you stop all that stuff or you start dealing with whatever, oh, my life's going to be boring now. No. Oh, no.
No. No, that's certainly true.
Have you found that doing your podcast and everything else, is there that it's actually helped with the things that you're going through? Is there something you like helped with your issues and things that you've had to deal with that you're grateful for? Oh, this has actually been, I know you mentioned it being cathartic before, or maybe I was just listening to your Dragon Con panel and I'm mixing the two.
No. I mean, the podcasts have definitely brought me a new sense of confidence. You know, I'm always surprised because, you know, my first few episodes that we did, you know, we record in my house and then I have a friend who's a sound engineer and we put it up there. And it's not until I get out or in the world where people say, oh yeah, I've subscribed to you. You know, I listen to you all the time. And that's always a surprise. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm doing this for. Sometimes you forget. Sometimes you just think you're talking into the ether. But it does give you more. I need to keep doing this. And I did I wrote a one person show called Obsessively Okay. After I found out about my obsessive compulsive disorder, because instead of making me very sad to get that diagnosis in my 30s, I was so happy. Because the previous 35 years made sense. Everything made sense. It actually made me feel not crazy, you know? And so I wrote a whole one-person show about it, multimedia, everything. I took it to some fringe festivals, did it here in LA, and it was a wonderful experience. And from that moment, from like basically vomiting all this stuff about myself and putting it into a nice, compact little story for people, it just gave me a new lease on my creative life. you know, because LA can be a very hard place to live, especially as a woman my age, you know, and this gave me just a whole new lease on life to find different creative outlets. And that's where, you know, I started the Geek Girl Authority. I started doing my podcast, and I made a you know, my theme is joy. My theme is joy. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I just want to share it with everybody, and I want them to be happy about it too. And when I interview, I just want to hear about your life because I'm interested in everybody. And I did. It made me just a happier person and more willing to take chances. It doesn't mean I'm not afraid to take chances. It just made me more willing to.
That's really cool how you took it. Man, I knew podcasting can be so much more than anybody ever realized, but now you're talking about as a form of therapy and growth and it is for what it is for each individual, and that's amazing. One of the shows you do, which ties in, I think, all of this, is Polecats.
Yes.
And the idea is to not be skunks, which is what a polecat is, but
yes,
to actually come up. It's a great concept.
But it's P-O-L-L.
Yes, I know. It is. It is. But still, I like to work the skunk part in there.
No, that's what drew me to naming it that. Like the other girls that do the show with me, they just couldn't. They said, why do you want to name it Polecats? And I kept thinking of Pepe Le Pew. You know, it was like, no, because a polecat.
Yeah, it's funny and it's fun. And actually, I'm going to wait and we're going to get into On Beyond with that. Because I've had a question I've been dying to ask ever since I heard an episode. So coming up, you're going to get into that. So stay tuned. We've got one more full section to go.
Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFall discuss the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting, available now at Amazon.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 233, podcast mavens, or whatever the title we're going to choose is going to be, with our special guest, Audrey Kearns.
I'm a maven.
And so, because Charles has been opening every other segment, he's allowing me to open this one. And normally, we have something that we're going to talk about. I have no idea, because I'm coming into this late in the game. But with our special guest, I'm going to throw it either back to her or Charles.
I got a question.
Who wants to talk about what now?
I got a question. I've been dying to ask her. So, man, it's so amazing. I knew having you on would be an amazing experience. And
thank you.
Just what you shared about the OCD and the social anxiety disorder. Because watching you, I mean, I know you probably mentally know this, even though you don't feel it. Watching you, there's no signs of this. You are a maven. I mean, you're just as confident, put together a woman who knows what she's doing, who's funny, all this other stuff. But so I'm impressed by what you're doing on the panels, and I was like, I'm gonna go check out her shows. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit of a snob when it comes to shows. When people are like, "Oh, do this podcast," well, yeah, that's great. I've listened to a bajillion podcasts in my life. I've been doing this since 2004 when it started. So thanks, you know. But I was like, yeah, because I met you, I was like, I'm interested in what you have to say. And even then, I found sometimes you don't get hooked on what the content they're creating. But I went and I checked out the interview with Kai,
which
was, he's just such a, and that's what I love about your interviews. It's not, he's done this and this and this. It's like, he's such a cool guy. And you feel like he's such a cool guy. And that's, I love that feeling after an interview. And like, all right, what else do you have? And I listened to Polecats where you had Foley.
Dave Foley.
Dave Foley. Thank
another
you.
Kids in the hall that I got to meet. Isn't that crazy?
I know. You had Dave Foley on and the creator of MST3K. I forget his name.
He's not the creator of MST3K. Joseph Scrimshaw.
Joseph Scrimshaw, yeah.
Yeah, he works for Riff Tracks and Riff does MST3K.
Yeah, my mind tracks oddly as you figured that out. You just drew the map and found that out. And it sounds like they're sitting in your home at your table doing this show.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're just like, I'm Audrey and this is Polecats and here's David. And he's like, hey, I'm like, oh, that's really David Foley. Oh my God, that's really him. And then Scrimshaw was there. He's like, oh my God, that's really him too. And you're just like, yeah, they're cool. It's all right. I'm good. And I'm like, well, what's the idea? Did you do a poll? Because that sounds weird. You did a poll and you're all going to discuss it. No, you bring them in. And in this particular episode, you're talking about what was your
most influential
Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm fangirling out on this thing. I'm just squeeing and like, because I remember this. Oh, wait, no, you got that wrong. There's this part of the episode, but that's not important. You know, I'm feeling like I'm at the table, which is a great part of the show. But the question I've always wanted to ask about that show is how, especially now knowing the social anxiety and everything else, how the hell did you get the confidence to ask them to come in and be people? Not talk about their acting careers and this and that and the other, but be people and geek out with you. And were they actually at your kitchen table?
We were in my office in my house.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and we're all like sitting. I do all the recording in my house. And sometimes I have portable equipment. So there have been times where I've had to go like to a person's house to do it. But I think one of the things that I have going for me is that I can set a conversation tone. It's very easy for me to set the tone. And with Polecats, I have a partner that does it with me, but I kind of lead the conversation and I lead the questions. And I want it to be, everything I do, I want it to be a conversation. And I think in my intros and as I'm asking questions with my tone of voice and how I'm asking them, it sets the tone for that kind of feeling, you know, that we're just sitting in my living room, we're at a table talking about our favorite Doctor Who episodes from the reboot era, you know. And so you can take a, you know, because with Polecats, it's always science fiction. So we've done best sci-fi gadgets, you know, best sci-fi reboots, you know, we do all different kinds of subjects. And then we take a poll at the end of everything that we've discussed. Right. We put the poll up online as well. But all of them are, and I always try to get somebody that's really funny as well to be, you know, because it just brings more joy, less snarkiness, and less, we're all like, you know, everybody I have is an expert on science fiction or fantasy. It's all genre stuff. I'm an expert in that stuff too. But I don't want to sit there and lecture people about Doctor Who that I know more than you. And, you know, it's like, let's talk about our favorite episodes and why they're our favorite episodes, because they're so silly and fun, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah.
So do you reach out to an agent or, I mean?
No, I haven't done that. You know, I'm lucky to live in Los Angeles, you know, and I've been here for coming up 13 years in January. And I've done a lot of comedy out here and a lot of acting. My husband is a television writer and he's a showrunner now. And the group of friends we had when we first moved here back in 2002 are all successful now. We've all, you know, gone our separate ways and we're all successful. We all know these people. And so it's just reaching out to my friends. You know, I know Dave Foley through Kai. Kai is dating a girl I used to do sketch comedy with back in the day who started Geek Girl Authority with me. So it's all connections and just asking. Nice. So Claudia said, Dave, why don't you come over? And he did, which was great. In fact, I mean, I'll, you know, name drop here. And it led to like my Star Wars experience was watching it sitting next to Dave Foley. And I didn't know what was more crazy. The fact that I'm seeing Star Wars on opening night and I feel like I'm going to cry because it's Star Wars, or the fact that my nerd hero is sitting next to me. How does this happen? You know, kind of thing. But we also ask, you know, I will reach out by email if it's a friend of a friend, you know, and if they don't answer, my limit is 2 emails, you know, to people I don't know. If they don't get back to me, they don't get back to me. They're not interested. But I have not had to go through a manager or an agent yet. It's all been friends of friends of friends or people that have worked with other people. I've been very lucky. And I think that has a lot to do with where I live.
Nice. That is cool. Warren, do you have any questions? We still got time.
Oh, no, this is great. I love just listening to you guys. In fact, I've been used to it this whole show. No, this is fantastic. Again, I just love the fact that you're moving forward. A lot of the themes with Success Freaks is doing things in spite of.
Yes.
In spite of the challenges in our face, in spite of the things that we think are limiting things. And actually, those very things that we think limit us turn out to be the greatest part of what we do.
Absolutely.
You know, if we're able to be comfortable enough and, as you've said, confident enough to move forward and learning that confidence each and every time. Do you have any kind of suggestion to people who might be facing the same challenge to do whatever it is they want to do, even if it puts them in the limelight like you are?
You mean people that maybe be facing anxiety or doubts?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I would say the best thing to do is to own it, you know, and to look at it and say, oh, this is why my life makes sense. And you can use that anxiety or that pain to be creative, you know, and it's such a horrible thing that pain can bring creativity, but it's true. And it also brings great comedy, you know.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this before where, you know, when you have anxiety disorders and everything, you make that place your comfort zone. You know, you're used to failure. You're used to, you know, people don't like you, and whatever fantasy that you've created in your head becomes your comfort zone. So it's about stepping out of that comfort zone and creating a new one. And here's the big advice, is what I always tell people. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to be willing to do the work on yourself and on your creative life. You've got to be willing to go through the journey, because you're going to find stuff up when you have a disorder. You're going to find out stuff about yourself that is painful, and it's like it really sucks. You know, but you go forward, and it's going to take work, but there is light. There is always light at the end. And when you do something creative, when you've made something creative by yourself and put it out there and had people respond to you, it is the best feeling in the world. And it will give you a giant leap forward in your creative life and in your emotional life as well.
That's fantastic. I love that. The fact that you say something, the fear doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to, you learn how to deal with it better.
Yeah, exactly. And some days you wake up and the fear's there. And it's like, okay, I got to do a little work today. And sometimes, honestly, you succumb to it for a day. But most days now, I know how to deal with it. I've got my magical ways. I deal with my fear now.
That sounds like it is.
It has a lot to do with watching too much Star Trek. But that's okay.
Have you seen the new trailer?
Yes. Yes. I'm not as angry as most people are. Because
I'm not angry.
There's so much hate on the internet for the new trailer. I'm game. I'm such a fan of Star Trek that I'm game. Yeah. I know it's a different universe that they've just created. And we'll see. We'll see if it's all action. I hope they do get back to a really good philosophical story. I've got faith in Simon Pegg and forget the other screenplay writer's name. I've got faith in him, you know. So, but I thought the trailer was fun.
Yeah, his movie, Simon Pegg's movie At World's End. What I loved about that was there was so much more to it. There was so much actor juice in it. You know, and then they had there's, you know, aliens and all that stuff. But it was just, there was so much, and the actors stretched so much. I'm like, okay, dude, I'm drinking your Kool-Aid. Anything that you bring out, I'm trusting you now.
This is not his first rodeo. He's a great storyteller. He's been doing it for a long time. So I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah.
I did not know that he was able to be one of the screenplay writers on this. So that's
him, and I don't know. I think the other guy's name is Doug Jung or Jung. I don't know if I'm saying it right. And they co-wrote the screenplay. And then Justin Lin from Fast and Furious 7 is directing it. And I think that's why that trailer was so action-packed and everything.
Right, and it's a trailer.
It's a trailer.
It's a first trailer.
Exactly. They're just setting a tone, and that's just fine.
Well, Audrey, where can we find? Well, we know where we can find you. Where can everybody else find you on the internet?
Yes, please check out geekgirlauthority.com for it's a pop and geek culture website. We have podcasts, breaking news, think pieces. It's a lot of fun. I'd appreciate it if you stop by. You can find all my podcasts there. I have. If you click on blogs, you can click on my personal blog, which is Long Cool Woman with Big Feet, and also on iTunes, you can find Neil Before Odd, Polecats, which is P-O-L-L, and Five Truths and a Lie. You can find them on geekgirlauthority.com or on iTunes, Stitcher. And please check them out. Right now I'm on hiatus from all three of the podcasts, but we're ramping up back in January. Twitter at Audrey Kearns, Instagram at Audrey Kearns _. Yeah, that's me.
Very cool. All right, Morten, unless you got something else you need to throw in, we can...
No, I think we're good. I think we're good.
Fastest show you've ever done, right?
It, yes, and I'm looking forward to listening to it when it comes out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in for the whole episode. I will catch up later on. This has, in part, been R. Morten Mon.
And I am Charles McFall saying, happiness lies in the joy of caffeination and the thrill of creative effort. That's Franklin D. Roosevelt-ish.
Audrey, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This was a blast. This was a blast. Thank you. Thank you. LLAP. That's what I'll say. Live long and prosper, everybody.
Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.